I wanted to get here at 5:30.
All right, Dolce, good morning. Let's begin. I'm sorry we're running a few minutes late this morning, and we definitely need every minute. So we left off Chav Gimel Amud Beis by the two dots. Hakli Mitzayif Masha B'Socho L'Kodesh Avalo L'Trumas. Remember again, the Mishnah said that the Kli, a utensil, has the ability to combine everything within it for Kodesh purposes, not for Truma. Remember the case of the Mishnah was that if you have multiple items sitting within one Kli, and a Tamei person goes ahead and touches one of the items, that when it comes to Truma, only the item that was touched is Tameh, as opposed to, again, Kodesh, where if one of the items becomes Tameh, everything else in the utensil becomes Tameh. So that's what I'm going to say, Kli Mitzarif. The Kli brings them together. Minahani Mili, where do we know this from? Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Kra, Kaf Achas, Asara Zahav Melea Kitores. So interestingly enough, the Pasuk says, Kaf Achas, one Kaf literally means over here like a ladle. One ladle made from 10 talents of gold, Melea Kitores, filled with Kitores. Filled with Kitores. So the Gemara says something very interesting. Aso, Akasuv Aso, Lekoma Sheba Kaf Achas. So interestingly enough, Rav Chanan is making a little bit on the play on words of Kaf Achas. So we normally translate Kaf Achas as one ladle. So Rav Chanan says, no, Kaf Achas means what? Everything that is within the ladle is made into one. Everything within the ladle is combined into one. Master Rav Chanan, Rav Chanan says, so I will say, interesting enough, according to Rav Chanan, this concept that the Kli goes ahead and combines everything is a din d'oraisa. All right, Master Rav Kana raises a kasha. He says, Hosif Rabbi Akiva, Hasolis v'hakitores v'halavona v'hagicholin. So Rabbi Akiva added onto this list of things. Solis is fine flour. Kitores means incense. Levona is literally the frankincense. Gicholim are coals. Shinaga tvul yom b'miktsaso. That if a tzuan, we also remember a tvul yom is someone who has gone to the mikvah but has not yet had Harav Shemesh. He still needs the sun to go down. Shinaga bahem tvul yom mix. Excuse me. Shinaga tvul yom b'miktsaso pasal eskulo. That if a tvul yom touches one of these things, and they're in a utensil, that lamaisa, when you touch part of it, the entire thing everything within the utensil becomes tameh. But Rabbi, what's the point of here? V'hadrabanan hi. And yet, again, this is a din drabanan. Now, how do we know that? So Rabbi, the contradiction is going to be, here's what's interesting about this. Everyone is agreeing in principle to the concept, which is that when you have multiple things within one utensil, and it's Kodesh, if a Tamei touches one of them, all of them become Tamei. The Shaila now is this a Din D'Araisa, or is this a Din D'Rabbanan? Rav Chanan learned it out from a Pasuk, and Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says, ceases to say it's a Din D'Rabbanan, to which the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that Rabbi Akiva says that it's a Din D'Rabbanan? Midiktani Resha, because the beginning of the Mishnah says, the beginning of the Braisa says, Heyed Rabbi Shimon ben Maseira al Efer Chatos, because Rabbi Shimon ben Maseira gave testimony about Efer Chatos, the ashes of the Paraduma, Shinaga Tamei Mektsaso, that if somebody whose Tamei touches part of them, so the halacha is, Shetime Eskulo, that the entire thing is Tameh. The Katani, and furthermore, it was stated about that, Hosif Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva added on to that. So we'll say the fact that it's clear from the beginning of the Mishnah, it's talking about it in the Rabbanon, and then it says what? That Rabbi Akiva added on to it, it indicates that what? That Rabbi Akiva's din is also a din d'Rabbanon. So the question is, which one is it? Is the idea of Nagab Mitzaso, so Nagab Mitzaso Kulo Tameh, Kulo Tame, is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? I'm Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Kafra. So Reish Lakish, the name Bar Kafra. Top of Chavdal, Lo Nitzucha Elo, the Sheyari Mincha. The truth is, the din, Rabbi Akiva's din, was necessary only for what we call Sheyari Mincha. So what's a Sheyari Mincha means? Are the leftovers of a mincha offering. So we'll say what Reish Lakish seems to be suggesting is a little of a compromise position. That there are times when this din is d'oraisa, and there are times when this din is the rabbanon. For example, d'oraisa tzarech likli hakli mitzarfo she'in tzarech likli in kli mitzarfo. So we'll listen to this. Mid d'oraisa, if you have something that requires a kli, we'll say what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says di ilu mid d'oraisa tzarech likli dumya diktores shebekaf Da'ari bakra, kli mitzarfa, v'shein lazarech l'kli, k'gon sharei mincha, shein achilas kohen, ein achil mitzarfa. We're supposed to listen to this. So Shlach Lakish says like this, if you have something that requires a kli, what does it mean something that requires a kli? For example, kitores. So we'll say, you can't choose, the kohen can't choose, you know what? I feel bad for the temple dishwasher. You know what? You know, I want to take it easy on him. So I'm going to just bring the Ketores in my hand. You can't do that. Ketores needs a kli. As opposed to, let's say, other things, for example, like shiori mincha. So shiori mincha, the leftovers of the mincha, that are the property of the kohen to eat. That doesn't require a kli shari, so a temple utensil. So the Gemara says like this, something very interesting. If the thing that you're dealing with requires a kli, then what? Then a kli mitzarfo. Then ultimately, again, mid'oraisa, the kli makes all of the parts within the kli into one unit, which means what? Which means that lemaisa, if you touch one of the things, everything becomes tame. However, mid'oraisa, things that do not require a kli, the kli does not combine them. However, va'asud rabbanon ve'gazru, and the rabbis came along and said, so the rabbis came along and said, midrabanan, even things that do not require a kli, kli mitzarfo. Nevertheless, again, midrabanan, the kli combines them into one unit. So we'll say, now we've satisfied everyone. So essentially, again, this concept has a chelak, has a part of it that's doraisa, and has a part of it that's drabanan. When the item in question requires a kli, then the kli combines everything midoraisa. But midrabanan, the rabbis were gozer that even if the item does not, even if the subject does not need a kli, the material does not need a kli, the kli is mitzar from midrabanan. Okay. Tinach solas. Ketora, stenach solas. So I understand the case of fine flour. However, again, ketores ulavona ma'ikalamimar. What is there to say ultimately again by ketores and lavona? Rash is ma'ikalamimar. Harit srichan lakli. These items require a kli midaraisa. Amrad nachman ara baravua kigon. So also, I mean, when would you ever have a case of ketores and lavona? That's drabanan. See, because what the Gemara is pointing out over here is, if you look at Rabbi Akiva's lashon, if you look at the lashon of our Mishnah doesn't seem to be mechalik between drais and drabanan. So let's assume everything's drabanan. So where would you ever have a case of ketores and levona where this concept applies midrabanan? If lemais again they require a kli midaraisa, Rabbi Baravua. Listen to this. It's actually interesting. Kigon shetzavran agabe kartablo. Right, that if you go ahead and you spread it out on top of a kartablo, what is a kartablo? Rashi says, or shaluk. Shaluk literally means boiled leather. What it means is you spread it out on top of a leather mat. Doraisa yesh lo toch mitzarif. Ein lo toch, ein lo mitzarif. Well, this is actually very interesting because midoraisa, what type of kli, what type of utensil has the ability to combine the contents? Only kli that has a toch. What's a toch? A base kibble, a receptacle. But a kli that does not have a toch, that does not have a receptacle, is not able to combine them. Which is what's taking even a step further. There are opinions that hold the midaraisa, something that doesn't have a base kibble or receptacle, isn't even called a kli midaraisa. All right, va'asur rabbanon, v'tiknu da'af agav de'in lo toch mitzarev. And the rabbis came along and they legislated that even if you have a utensil that does not have a toch, that does not have a receptacle, nevertheless, midarabanon what? It still combines everything that is on top of it into one entity. Upliga d'Rab Chanan, upliga d'Rab Chanan, ad Rab Chiya bar Abba. And Rab Chanan argues on Rab Chiya bar Abba. Why don't Rab Chiya bar Abba am Rab Yochanan medusa Rabbi Akiva nishnis mishnazu? Because we also listen to this. Because Rab Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rab Yochanan that based on the testimony of Rabbi Akiva was our Mishnah written. I also remember again, what did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva is the one who said that this whole din of Akli Mitzarfo is what? Is a din d'Rabbanan. And here you have Rav Chiya Bar Abba saying that our Mishnah is based on Rabbi Akiva, which indicates that, well, that our Mishnah is also d'Rabbanan. The Gemara just points out that argues on Rav Chanin, because Rav Chanin holds that what? That the Iker din of Kli Mitzarfo is a din d'Oraisa. Okay, so we end off with the Machlokes about whether or not the din d'Oraisa is Mitzarfo, of Kli Mitzarfo is a din d'Oraisa or d'Rabbanan. But the truth is the Gemara also gives us a compromise position, telling us that whenever the subject in matter requires a Kli, then Kli Mitzarfo mid'Oraisa. When it doesn't require a Kli, then it's Kli Mitzarfo mid'Rabbanan. Good. Harivi b'kodesh pasul. Remember again, the next thing in the Mishnah was that I will say with kodesh, even a revi is pasul. Remember again, normally tuma ends at what we'll call the shlishi level. So remember again, you have an avatoma. These something touches the avatoma becomes a rishon. Rishon could communicate tuma to make something else a sheni. Sheni could communicate something else to a shlishi. But when you become a shlishi rabosai, you don't have the ability to go ahead and communicate any subsequent tuma. You're just simply what's called pasul. You're pasul. Except when it comes to Kodesh, the Mishnah says. When it comes to sacrificial items, it could even become a revi. Which you also remember, when we started this whole perek, we spoke about the idea that the greater the intensity of Kiddusha, so the more receptive the item is to Tuma. So therefore, again, Kodesh, which is of a higher level than anything else, by definition, could even become a revi. Says the Gemara, Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Minayim the revi, but Kodesh, Shu Pasul. How do we know that if you have a revi by Kodesh, that it's Pasul? I'll say Pasul means that it itself becomes unfit, but yet again, it does not communicate Tuma to anything else. So the Gemara says, "Vidinhu." I'll tell you why it's a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Uma mechusar kipurim shemoter betruma pasul b'kodesh. We'll say, who's mechusar kipurim? Mechusar kipurim is someone who has gone to the mikvah, has experienced harav shemesh. The sun has already gone down, but what? His particular type of tumah requires karbanos, and he has not yet brought his karbanos. This could be like a zav, a metzora. So I went to the mikvah, sun went down, just haven't brought my karbanos. So the Gemara says, if mechusar kipurim is mutter b'truma, he's permitted to eat truma, but he is prohibited by in kodesh, shlishi, then all the more so a shlishi, shepasul b'truma. So I will say a shlishi, ultimately again, who is not permitted to eat truma, eino din shiyasa revi l'kodesh, should it not go without saying that he has the ability to communicate tuma to kodesh, and therefore make it the revi. V'lamanu shlishi l'kodesh min haTorah, therefore, it turns out that we don't have the concept that Kodesh could become a Shlishi Midaraisa and Revi'i from a Kavachomer. So, the Kavachomer is what we just stated. Shlishi la Kodesh Minatora Minayin. How do we know that, again, that there's a concept of Shlishi by Kodesh Minatora? It's actually an interesting Kavachomer. Dichsiv v'habasar asher yiga b'chol tameh. Because the pasuk says that the meat that will go ahead and come in contact with anything that is tameh, lo ye achel, it shall not be eaten. And I will say, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, milo askinon dinaga b'sheni. Are we not talking about where the meat came in contact with the sheni? The kamarachmona lo yochal, lo ye achel, and yet the pasuk says that it shall not be eaten. Why not? What do you see from there? From there you see that Lamaisa Sheni can make something else into a shlishi. And I will say, how does the Gemara know that v'habasar she'iga b'chol tameh? How do you know that b'chol tameh refers to a Sheni? So Rashi actually points this out. It's very interesting. Rashi says that because when the wording of the pasuk says v'habasar she'iga b'chol tameh. So b'chol tameh means anything that is tumah. So the way interesting of the Gemara chooses to interpret that pasuk is the most basic, like weakest form of tumah. What's the weakest form of tumah we know before this pasuk? It's a sheni. And yet the pasuk is telling us that even if the meat comes in contact with the sheni, the weakest form of tumah, it's also tummy, which tells us what? That a sheni has the ability to make something a shlishi. Very interesting drasha. So therefore the Gemara says, reviv a kavachomer, hada amran. And above so the fact that by kodesh, a shlishi can make something into a revi'i, that we learn from a kavachomer. That's what we just said before. That was the kavachomer from mechusar kipurim. So therefore we learn out again that a sheni could make something into a shlishi, we learn out from the pasuk, and that a shlishi can make something into a revi'i, that we learn from the kavachomer. Ubetruma in nitmeh. So we'll say again, this was another very interesting case. So if you remember again, the Mishnah said, ubetruma im nitmeh achas miyadav, chaverta tahora, right? By truma, if one of your hands became tameh, the other hand is tahor. Ubekodesh, right? Ubekodesh matpil shteyan. But by kodesh again, apparently, if one of your hands becomes tameh, then lemaise again both become tameh. Shayad metame es chaverta bekodesh, aval lo betruma. Fine, says the Gemara. Ubetruma amar of shizbi bichiburin shanu. This is only talking about what? Where the two hands are touching each other. Look at Rashi. B'chiburin shanu. Masnisin diktani yad metame es chaver to the kodesh. When the Mishnah said that one hand can be metame another hand by kodesh. We'll say, remember, when we say one hand can be metame one another hand, these are my two hands, right? So my left hand is tame, my right hand is not. So the Mishnah said that by truma, again, just because my left hand is tame, my right hand remains tar. But yet by Kodesh, if my left hand is Tamei, my right hand becomes Tamar. Rav Shizvi comes along and says, one second, you have to qualify this statement. Now back to Rashi. Mas nisin diktani yad mitamei eschaverta, the Kodesh kigon, sheba'ot shayad hatmer noga'as letohora, haisa hatohora noga'as pekodesh. The gazir abanan dilma asi leminga tmeya bekodesh. We'll say, that's very interesting. So what's the case over here? The case is where while I'm touching, let's say, the Kodesh item with my right hand, my Tahar hand, my left hand, my Tameh hand, is touching my Tahar hand. So again, remember, when do we say that one hand is metame, another hand by Kodesh? That's only when my hand is, my Tahar hand is on the Kodesh, and my Tameh hand is touching my Tahar hand. That's when we say that by Kodesh, my Tameh hand transmits tumah to my Tahar hand. Why? What's the concern? Because now this makes a little bit more sense. Now, what's the concern? The concern is that I'm one touch away from touching the Kodesh itself. Therefore, again, that's the case where the Tameh hand transmits tumah to the Tahar hand. However, again, back to the Gemara about Shalobi Chiburin, but if my Tameh hand is not touching my Tahar hand at the time that my Tahar hand is touching the Kodesh, then what? Then Lamaisa again low. Then it does not communicate tumah to the Tahar hand. Look at Rashi. Shalobi Chiburin, Shalachar Shapir Shemina Torah. If my Tameh hand only touches my Tahar hand after my Tahar hand is removed from the Kodesh, Chazra Torah Venaga Bekodesh, Tar Vein Yad Metami Chaver Telasosafil Shlishis Lifsal. Also, remember again, so just for proper purposes, if this is my Kodesh, right, this is my Kodesh. So again, when do we say that for Kodesh purposes, my Tameh hand goes in as Metame, my Tahar hand? If my Tahar hand is on the Kodesh and my Tameh hand is touching my Tahar hand, then I'm able to communicate Tumah to the Kodesh. But if I have my Tameh and my Tahar hand and I touch my Tameh hand, we hold hands, and then afterwards I go ahead and I pick up the Kodesh, that does not communicate Tumah to the Kodesh. Says the Gemara, Esvei Abai. So Abai raised the Kasha. Yad neguva metame chaver to latame kodesh, aval lo l'tshuma divrei Rebbe. So Moshe the Braisa says that a dry hand has the ability to communicate tuma to its friend in order to transmit tuma to kodesh, but not for truma purposes. These are the words of Rebbe. Rabbi Yossi says lifsol aval lo l'tame. No, it's not true. A dry hand could communicate tuma for psul purposes, but cannot actually go ahead and render something. Tell me, Rashi says over here, Yad Neguva, Af Apishain Bamashkin. Even though, again, the hand is, so what the Gemara is pointing out of is that normally to transmit Tumah, you need some type of liquid medium to make something Kashal Tumah, Hokshal Tumah, but that doesn't apply over here. So Gemara says, I Armit, Bishlam Shalob Chibur, Han Rabuse, the Neguva. So we'll say, if you tell me over here that this price is not talking about a case of where what the Tameh hand was touching the Tahar hand, then I understand, because that's the Chiddush over here. The Chiddush over here is that even if the hands are not touching and they're dry, they have the ability to go ahead and communicate Tumah in some way. However, again, Ella I Amrit B'chiburin, in Shalob B'chiburin Lo, my Rabusa Dineguva. But if you tell me that this is still talking about over here, what? Still talking about if the hands are touching, but if they're not touching, there's no communication of Tumah, then why do we even have to bring up this idea that the hand is dry? It's Maranami Reish Lakish. Similarly, again, Reish Lakish said, Lo Shano Ella Yado. We'll say, we only said what? We only said this is talking about one's own hand. Aval, Amadez, Aval, Yad Chaveiro Lo. We'll say, it's another very interesting halacha. When do we say that this is now, who is talking over here? This is Reish Lakish. When do we say that one hand is able to communicate Tumah to the other hand? That's only when my hands. But if my friend's Tameh hand touches my hand, then what? Then Lamaisa says, Reish Lakish, that does not go ahead and communicate, that does not communicate Tumah. Rabbi Yochanan said, Echad Yado ve'echad Yad Chaveiro ba'osa hayad lifsal. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Yochanan, however, on the other hand, says, no, it's not true, whether it's in my hand or it's my friend's hand. One Tameh hand has the ability to communicate Tumah to a second Tameh hand. However, again, it only gives that second Tameh hand the ability for psul, avalo l'tameh, but not to go ahead and transmit Tumah. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Ba'osayad, im naga biyad rishon biyad chavero, aval hashniya eina metame yad chavero. Livelifsal es hakodesh hu de'amar yad metame chaver tavalo letame. So we'll say, so this is very interesting. So we have another fundamental machlok in Reuch and Reish Lakish, namely, that is this din of one hand being metame, another hand, is this just a din on my own hands? Or is this a din even in what? Even in my friend's hand. So Reish Lakish says again, it's only a din in my hand. Rabbi Yochanan holds it's even a din in what? Even a din in my friend's hand. It was like, remember, just to be clear, everyone's agreeing, however, that this is all rabbinic tuma. Obviously, not tuma, any tuma, so all rabbinic tuma. So the Gemara says, Mimai, from where do we know this? Miditoni Seifa, because if you look at the end of the Mishnah, Shayad mitame chaverta lekodesh, avalo l'truma. Because what did the Seifa say? That one hand has the ability to transmit tuma to its friend for kodesh and not for truma purposes. Hasulamli, but why do I need this? Why do I need this case? Hatan l'resha. It was already stated in the resha. Rashi says hatan l'resha ulekodesh matbilin shtein. Rabbi, remember again, earlier on in the Mishnah, it already said that lamaisa for kodesh purposes you immerse both hands, which indicates what? Which indicates that lamaisa one hand could transmit tuma to the other. To which the Gemara says alash mamina lasu yad chavero. Oh, but rather it must mean what? That second statement in the Mishnah must be coming to include even the hand of my friend. That even the hand of my friend has the ability to communicate tuma to my own. Va'af Reish Lakish Hadarbei, and even Reish Lakish ultimately retracted his earlier position. The Amrab Mini, also remember, Reish Lakish was the one who said that my friend's hand cannot transmit tuma to my own. So even Reish Lakish went ahead and retracted this position. The Amrab Yona, Amrab Ami, Amrab Reish Lakish, Echad Yado, Ve'echad Yad Chavera, Ba'os Hayad Lifso, Avalo Lutame. So the Gemara says, even Reish Lakish said that whether it's my tame hand or my friend's tame hand, if that tame hand touches the other hand, the tar hand, it has the ability to transmit tuma. However, again, that tuma is limited in that it makes the other hand, I mean, the other hand could is puzzle, but itself cannot transmit any subsequent tuma. So the Gemara says, velifso avalo letame tanahi. This idea that it becomes puzzle, but can't transmit any additional tuma, is in and of itself imachlokis tanoim. This none, because we learned kala posel b'truma mitame yadayim liyoshnios. I will say anything that invalidates by truma has the ability to go ahead and be mitame liyadayim, to make them into shnios, to make them into second tier, to make them into second tier tuma. Viyad mitame chaverta. And similarly, again, one hand has the ability to transmit tuma to its friend. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua, these are the words of Rabbi Yeshua. Ve'achram d'acham say, yadayim shnios, yadayim are automatically shnios. Ve'ein sheni osis sheni b'chulin. And one sheni cannot go ahead and do a lateral transmission of tuma, make something else into a sheni. My love sheni hu dilo avid, hashlishi avid. So when we say that hands that are sheni can't make something else into a sheni, does that not mean that they can't make it into a sheni, but what? They can make it into a shlishi. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Dilma, lo sheni avid, velo shlishi. No, perhaps it means that they can't go ahead and make it into a sheni or shlishi, which also is another way of saying that the hands themselves become puzzle, but not necessarily tame. Ela ki hani tanoi. Rather, it's like this machlokis, this sanya, yad neguva matame es chaver tel tame bekodesh avalo l'truma. So let's say, because we learned that what? A dried hand has the ability to matame its friend for kodesh purposes, to go to be matame by kodesh, but not for truma, divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Excuse me, divrei Rabbi. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda omer, osa yad lifsol avalo l'tame. And we'll say on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, that hand can become puzzle, but cannot transmit tuma. So we'll say fundamental machlokes tanoim, everyone's going to agree that one hand can be metame another midirabanan, but the shayla is what? The shayla is what level of tuma it actually conveys. Rabbi Lemais is saying that it can actually go ahead and make a hand into a shlishi. Another Rabbi Yossi Yehuda is saying that Lemais said no, it really doesn't make it tame, it just simply makes it puzzle. Okay. It's the second hand, correct. The first hand itself is the hand that came in contact with the actual tuma. We're talking now the transmission from the tame hand to the tar hand, correct. Ochlin, niguvim biyadayim esu avos. Remember the Mishnah said that you can go ahead and literally eat food. You can go ahead and eat food with biyadayim esu avos, literally means dirty hands. Dirty hands. So remember, again, the context. The context is Ochlim Ochlim Nuguvim Biyadayim Misu Avos B'Truma Ahanah. This wasn't it. Ochlim the guvim be'adam is avos b'tshuma v'alo b'kodesh. You could eat foods. Ah, thank you. You can go ahead and you could eat an old one. You can go ahead, thank you. Actually, you can go ahead and you can eat foods that are dry with dirty hands, which means again hands that had came in contact with tumah for tshuma purposes, but not for kodesh. Says the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus said, "V'chiyesh neguva b'kol l'kodesh." And I will say again, this idea that somehow if the hands are dry, that there's no liquid medium, it would prevent the transmission of tumah. Is that really true by kodesh? After all, v'halo chibas hakodesh machshirasan. Well, it's actually interesting. Chibas hakodesh means the love of kodesh makes them receptive to tumah. What does it mean about saying that sometimes what the Gemara is suggesting here is that something could be so holy in nature that its incredible holiness makes it receptive to tumah even without a liquid medium? So does not the fact that kodesh is of such great sanctity by definition allow the hands to become tameh? Or I should say, allow the transmission of tumah. So what's like, let me be clear. What the Gemara is talking about over here is that Lamaisa, you might have thought that if my hands are dry, they pretty much can't transmit tumah to, or if the food is dry, they can't my hands can't transmit tumah to the food. To which the Gemara says, but is that really true? At the end of the day, kodesh is so sensitive that even with dry hands, Lamaisa tumah should be transmitted. To which the Gemara says, listen to this. Lo tzricha, what's the case? Okay, it's actually interesting. Ki go shetachav lo chaveru lo soch piv. What's the case, I will say, where my friend put the kodesh into my mouth, meaning I'm not touching the kodesh. He puts the kodesh right into my mouth. Oh, shetachav uliyatzmo bikush bekarkar. Or what happens, or is perhaps a more simpler case, is where I went ahead and I put a toothpick into the kodesh, and I'm going, it's a kodesh, you know, Frank in a blanket, right? I put the toothpick in there, and I ate it, and I'm eating it. So we'll say, what's the chap of the toothpick? The chap of the toothpick is I am avoiding direct contact with the kodesh itself. However, listen to this. Ubikesh le'echol tznon ubatzal shalchulin imayim. But what do I want to do? I want to go ahead and eat. It's known as an onion, or as garlic, or a radish, or an onion of chulin with them. So we'll say I want to go ahead and eat something. I want to eat something chulin together with the kodesh. So the Gemara says, "Likodesh gazu b'rabban l'tshmul gazu b'rabban." So let's listen to this. So the concern is like this. The concern is that lemaisa, my hand is tamei. My hand is tummy. But okay, not a problem. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to avoid tumah for kodesh purposes. I will say thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and avoid kodesh. I'm going to avoid kodesh issues. How? I'm not going to touch the kodesh. But it happens to me, I want to eat the kodesh together with what? Together with chulin. So chazal said like this. Now, Rabbi Moshe, my hand is tummy. So the Gemara said like this. When it comes to truma, that's no problem. That's not a problem at all. Because again, as long as your hands are dry, not a problem. However, with kodesh, even if you are not touching the kodesh itself, but you are handling the chulin, we're concerned that what? That in the, as a process of handling the chulin, you may come to go ahead and handle the truma as well, the kodesh as well, and be matami the kodesh. That's why, again, if one's hands are tame, one is not permitted to go ahead and eat kodesh, even if what? Even if lemaisa, one is not going to handle the kodesh directly. So we'll stop over here. We'll mamash pick up right here tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. I'll get that. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you.
Times tomorrow?
Regular.
What's regular?
5:45. Mm-hmm. Lichos like 6:20, 6:25. Same for the same time tomorrow. Correct. The Naga Basheni, he says, because the kli becomes a rishon. So how do you know? And there's like, let's say the contents of the kli were all the way at the top. So I assume the kli becomes a rishon because it's in the teich. What if it never hits the teich and it just hits the
outside?
Hits the what's in it?
Or the contents of the kli.
And let's say you have stuff at all the way at the top.
So if you're metame ochlin, if you're metame the ochlin in the kli, yeah, I guess that transmits tumah to the kli. meaning Ochlin have the ability to transmit to Matzah Kehilim.
How do we know that because we're saying that Minatara, that it's a shame.
Right.
How do we know? In other words, so it seems Rashi's saying because it makes the Kehli a Rishon, and then the Kehli makes the Ochlin or whatever, then
it's a Sheni. Right.
How do you know? In other words, maybe you could say it's only saying where it's all the way at the top, and so it's just the time of the
yeah, how do you know the concept that if a Kli is a Rishon, what's inside of it is a Sheni?
What made the Rishon, what made the Kehli into, in other words, you're saying, what kind of, you're saying it could be a case like a metal Kehli?
Could a Kli Matechas, where the Tumah touches the outside, Kli becomes a Rishon, automatically renders everything inside a Sheni. Because your Kasha would be in a Kli Charas.
Yeah, but I'm saying in order to make it a Sheni, don't you, in order to say that it's necessarily talking about a Sheni, you have to understand that that needs to be the case? Otherwise, you say
why? Because you're asking if it touched.
Could be saying just the Rishon.
Because you're saying maybe it's a case of where the Tumah touched the food itself that's in the Kli, but Lam Davka touched the Kli.
Right, or maybe the food is piled up. So
yeah, I don't know what the halacha is in that case. If it goes in and touches the food on the inside, it doesn't touch the Kehli.
Because the Kehli is Mitzarif, presumably.
Yeah, but that's not even a case. Mitzarif is a different case.
But I'm saying whenever that you could find a case where what's in it, because that's what it's saying, that whatever's in it is tummy. I'm saying you could find, I would think you could find a case where what's in it is tummy is a Rishon only. In which case, how do you know that the Torah has a case where it says make a Sheni?
Right. Well, I think what the Gemara is talking about, I think the reason why Rashi chooses that case is because they're looking for like the lowest possible level of biblically mandated Tumah.
Right.
Which is this case, not the case you're describing.
But in other words, you can't assume that the pasuk, that the Torah creates a sheni if in other words, from this pasuk, how do you know? In other words, because it's a chiddush to say that the Torah is saying a sheni. You have to know that. So in other words, if you could find a case where it's not a sheni,
yeah,
then you could say maybe the Torah only takes it to a Rishon level.
I'm not following you. So it's just, yeah, I'm going to look at this again. Okay, so we just established
the inside. We're making a chiddush that the Torah recognizes a sheni l'tuma.
Correct.
But in other words, from that pasuk, how do you know? In other words, you could have. In other words, you're saying you're not trying to limit it. In other words, whatever the pasuk could be contemplating.
Yeah, I think at least what I said Rashi is what the Gemara is looking at is. What is the lowest possible form of tumah you could create? And I think the lowest possible form of tumah that you could create, based on what we know, is the case of, let's say, where the tumah is nogia on the outside, and then it's metame on the inside.
We're not trying to limit it. It's trying to be expansive, actually.
That is correct.
I guess we're saying the Torah, by definition, does have a sheni, and I guess I don't know how you know it's from that process. Because maybe the Torah was only talking about it where.
I have to. The truth is, yeah. I have to look at that also. That's the truth. I understand what you're saying.
Another 2 second question. Maybe 2 seconds go down. Yesterday's more. So, what does that do to Sukkim who don't believe in the Rabbanim that the Tumah should begin with? In other words, if they don't believe in the
Rabbanim. But it affirms that we do.
In other words, but proving that we don't care about a Harav Shemesh, so you would want to take a Tumah that they recognize, and despite that, you do it, right? But then there's that saying, we don't care about Harav Shemesh. But if they say, we don't believe in the Drabbanan, so to prove that you created a Drabbanan Dika Harav Shemesh, and then you did it anyway, so the whole thing's a Drabbanan.
Well, they hold that Tavul Yom can't do Paradua.
Right. So what do you want to create a case that their maskim is Tameh, and then do it anyway? But in order to say...
Why? You want to dispute the right point that they're fixating? I don't know why.
They're saying that
Tavul Yom can't do it.
Can't do it, right? So what you would want to do, if you want to take away from them, is to create a case where it is the full yom that they where it's the tumma that goes back in time, right? That meaning that would be more clear.
Yeah.
And then do it anyway.
Yeah, but that's not the halacha.
What?
You mean make him a tefillah yom and a tumah d'oraisa?
Yeah, because then it proves something, because it still can say, see, even you're masking this is a tefillah yom and d'oraisa.
What was the tumah of the...
Because it said they made it as if it's the second, after the second hazaya of
the seventh day.
So they're creating a drabanan tikkun zero of tumah. So what does that prove about the... And it's still
say, fine,
you created a tumah and then you did it anyway. So what do I care? That's not a tumah d'oraisa, so you didn't... So in the case where you say you touch him with a sheret,
I think the Gemara and Yuma discussed that. I think that we had that discussion already. Yeah, I think we discussed that. I think Yuma spoke about that idea, and I think that the Gemara that we discussed was this idea so as not to totally disparage paraguma. That to purposely go ahead, I have to look that up.
Because they made a thing, therefore that's why they said that they weren't Mechadish Tumah by a Tumah.
Right.
Because I think they were somewhat mythological.
Right.
Correct.
So I think the Gemara, I'm going to look up the Gemara. I believe that the Gemara has that discussion.
I've heard the ketchup of this.
It's hard to catch up once you start with them. So.
I'm part of the land. If I put the trash with the lava, along with the bushes and the lava, it's not like 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 it's Adonai, El Rachom Rechanun. Erech HaPayim, Berav Chesed Yemes, Nosei Chesed Yolefim, Nosei Emon Vafesha, Bechata Venokai. Sorak Olam Aleinu, Echad Asinu, Echad Arasach, Maravino Ki Chatanu, Chavagino Ki Pashanu, Ki Atoha Adonai, Tov V'Salach, Berav Chesed, Lechol Korecho.
Divine.